Episode number 209 with Steve and Mike. Welcome to the Heads Up Poker Podcast. This is Steve Barton.
This is Mike Snyderman.
How the hell are we, Mikey? We got a lot to catch up on here. You've already came and went from Vegas, and you're coming out again.
I am.
Yes, yes. Good trip, right? I mean, you got out of how many people? You got like 31st or something, or what? What?
Yeah, 33rd out of 1,870 in the six max saved my trip. So it was. I made about 700 on poker.
Okay. So okay.
That's I could justify returning.
Yes.
I mean, not really. I still don't have enough money. I got on Twitter last night. It was close to begging, but I really wanted to sell 50%. I told before I come, but I think I have 38% sold.
Okay.
My action, which isn't bad.
Yeah. Okay. And well, I got 3%.
Yeah.
Did you get the message from Mike Sully? He wanted two.
Yep.
Okay, good.
You got a piece, but if I break the first five or six events, I can just stop playing and grind cash and send everyone their money back with markup.
Yeah.
But so how about you, Steve? Are you still? How long are you out there for?
I'm out here until probably the 24th, 25th, 26th, something like that.
Fuck.
The tag team is the 24th, so I'm going to play that with Jason. Ran into Jason at the Wynn very briefly, but said hello. He said the first words out of his mouth, he's all, "We are still playing the tag team, right?" I'm, oh yeah. He's all, okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's not in my package, but I plan on, because there's only so many tournaments I want in one package. I don't want people. I want people to get 1% for not too much. And so I didn't put the monster stack. And well, actually, the tag team will not be. I will not be selling action to that because, you know.
Yeah, I'm not going to sell any of it. I mean, if there's three of us, it's only $300 a piece. So.
Yes, exactly. I think Jason had a rough trip. I feel bad for it. We're getting ready to go out for breakfast. How about a little heart for heart, heart to heart?
Wait, Jason's back already?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
He might have left early. I don't know.
Maybe. I thought he said he was. Well, you know what? The days are running together here. I'm going to bed at 2 in the morning and waking up at like 11. So I could.
You see how it is, Steve, having your sleep interrupted? I guess I woke you up this morning, huh? Mine was, I had the same thing. My baby mama's car is broken, so I've been having to drive and pick my son up every day from school this week. Okay. Kind of a really at 6:30 is just the worst possible time, you know.
Do you play this morning and then you're going to bed now? Or?
Yeah, I mean, actually, I left last night about as early as I ever do. I left at about 12:30 or 1, so I could, because I know I'm going to drive to Vegas tonight, so I could get a, so I got about 4 hours sleep or 5 hours sleep, got up.
Okay, so you're coming out, you're coming back out tonight?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, probably.
Okay, cool. What, do you have a place to stay? Did you want to stay here with my brother?
Or
what?
I'm definitely staying, for a few days, with my, a buddy from, who owns a house. He bought a house from, he was a formerly Ocean's 11 player. He's got
cool.
I'm definitely I might take you up on that though. I definitely have made the decision. It's hard because, well, first of all, by next year I will not be a Diamond card member.
Okay.
Just not that much gambling. So I will no longer get the free, you know, the free Wi-Fi and the free parking and the five free nights a month.
Yeah.
But beyond that, I told myself if I ever go to Vegas, I have to stay off strip. Just stay out of trouble.
Okay.
No gambling, just, you know, to recharge. So I stayed a few days with him last time, and I think that was beneficial for me.
Yeah. Okay.
Just,
okay.
I mean, it's like, it's only like a 10-minute drive. You know what I mean? And it's
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. It's about 25 from where my brother's at, to get up to like the Wynn and like that. But,
I think, the other little and I'm definitely only play at the you've always disliked Planet Hollywood.
Yeah.
And I think Venetian, actually, do they have free parking? But I don't want to, like I said, I'm a creature habit, and I know the exact, my favorite parking spots at the yes. Wynn in the Rio.
Yes.
Both of them might drive up and drive to the top floor of the their parking garage and whatever. It's convenient for me. So
I've got, yeah, the same thing for me on the Wynn. I just go to the second floor and there's always a spot right by that walkway. I don't know what it is. Everything will just be packed, but it's like they know I'm coming. There's a spot right there. I back my car in and then I walk to the room like 45 seconds later. It's amazing. But, I actually have, there's two that I could play today. One is at the Aria. It's a 400, 40K guarantee. And then another one is at Planet Hollywood, and it's a $300, 200K. But
that's is that a one-day tournament?
They're both one days, yeah. Wow. And I'm like, I just like the Aria better, you know?
Even right.
It's not as big of a tournament. I just hate the Planet Hollywood. They make you run through that, you know, little circus of a mall in between the casinos, and you're just so far from parking. Even your 45-minute dinner break, you barely have enough time to go to the car, take a little nap, and then come back. It's just so far. I'm like, I think I'm just going to boycott Planet Hollywood. I'll find
okay. So how have you done? I know you got one cash at least in one of the daily deep stacks. What's your performance like so far? You won for six or something around there?
Yeah, something like that. I had, let's see, what did I play? I'm putting myself on the spot now. I played the 550 win, bageled that after about 2 hours. I played a Rio deep stack, bageled that. Then I played another Rio deep stack that starts at like 4 p.m. So they got a 1 p.m. one for 250. That, you know, if you go the distance, it'll go till 8 a.m. Then they got another one after that. So if you bust that, then you can register at 4 p.m. for one. And then I think they have even another one at like 7 p.m. So I played the 4 p.m. one. Out of 270 something people, I got 21st. So it was a little bit better than min cash, but it felt good to get a cash under my belt. I had a couple of daily sprinkled in there. The ones that, like Andrew Pieper plays, just, I'm trying to get my stamina up, you know, and the other day it was about a 12-hour session and I felt pretty good. So I feel like, you know, I can play for long duration now. I'm getting my routine down with the timing with the meal plans and all that. And I'm feeling good. It felt good to get that little cash under my belt.
Of course you're feeling good, Steve. You're always feeling good.
It is the my theme, yes. But yeah, it's been fun. I'm excited. I'm gonna go play that $400 Aria today. That one starts in a little less than 3 hours.
I assume you're playing the double stack this weekend, the 1K.
Yes, the 14th. So tomorrow, Friday, I'm gonna be playing the 1K. That's part of the package. It looks like hopefully I'll just run day two, and then I won't have to play the second bullet the following day, but we'll see. And then I've got an $800 on
another bracelet event
Sunday. Yeah. 750K guarantee. Then a win 550. And then the bounty tournament. I'm excited about that one. $1,500, 500 per bounty.
Well, Steve, you're not fucking around this year. You're really hanging your nuts out there.
I am. Yes. Yes. I am. I sold a little bit more than half of that package. So I sold like 52.5%. So my goal was to sell 50, but then when I was at 47.5 and, I think it was Larry. He said, I want 5%. I'm like, all right, cool. So I took it.
Yeah.
So I got a little bit less than half, but that's all right.
I might go out there and try to negotiate a few swaps if I can't sell a little bit more. But like I said, you know, hopefully this will be fortuitous. I'll have a good profitable trip and I'll have more of myself than I was intending.
Yeah. 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 That was fun sweating you on that deep run, man. It was, there was a point to where I'm like, I have to go to bed, but I want to see how he does, you know? And finally at like 11 o'clock at night, I'm like, all right, I got to go to sleep.
Yeah. That's like almost the most fun part is having the sweat, the Twitter sweat, and having the investors and people getting excited. And, it would have been nice to go a little deeper, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. But you got like a 10K or something out of it? Is that what you got?
Yeah. 10,500. So, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. It would have been, it looked like it was going to be something special because I came in with not below chip average. Mm-hmm. And then the first day was just a murderous table. Like Chris Mormon was there and WP champ. And I was card dead. So I thought I played pretty good just to survive. I mean, I think I got a double late in the day, like ace king against jacks and, you know, got some shoves through. But day two, the big stack was on my left and I like raised the first couple pots and he didn't three bet me. I'm like, oh, okay.
He did not. Oh, okay.
So I thought he'd be kind of jumping right out because we were pretty close to the bubble when day two started.
Yeah.
So I got that. And then I forget, I got a couple, won a couple big hands and all of a sudden I had like 800,000 and I was like one of the top chip stacks. But I don't know. I can't even remember where things went poorly. I really just didn't have a lot of big hands. Like, well, I mean, when I say I didn't have, I mean, like somebody would try to bluff and I would call with second pair in the river. Those were like the biggest kind of hands I won.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I don't have to be good there. So that's that you're on the right side of variance, obviously, when that stuff happens. But I was just, anyways, you know, hopefully we got a little more to come here.
Yeah. Hopefully we can repeat that. I got 3% this time.
Yes.
I'm excited. I am excited. I swapped 5% with Carlos in that win 550, but he was out before I was. I think he flopped the nuts and then the guy. And then he had the second nuts by the turn or something, got it all in. And that was GG for him. And then I was shortly after. You know, I did have an interesting hand the other night at that daily. We're getting close to the bubble. There's 35 people left and 33 pay. I've got about 14 big blinds. I'm on the button. And up until this point, someone at the table noticed my hat and then they started asking about the show. And, one of the guys, his name is Jim. He subscribed right there on his phone. He's like, I'm excited. I'm going to start listening to your show. I'm like, okay, cool. So we'd been at the table maybe half an hour. Or so we'd kind of built this friendly dynamic.
Did you say your name is Mike? So just in case you're curious, I'm Mike Steideman, the one that nobody likes. that could shut down the conversation there, but no, people gravitate towards you naturally, Steve. Anyways, sorry.
We were talking and, you know, shooting shit and like that. And then this guy, Jim, opens under the gun. Now, to give you an idea of what we're like here on the bubble, with 35 left and 33 pay, one guy literally has one chip. Okay, so the blinds at this point are 1,000, 2,000 with a 2,000 ante, and he has one 1,000 chip. So he has half of a big blind. So that's kind of where a little bit of ICM comes in, I think. Now, he's at a different table.
Okay, how about this? The guy under the gun, what's your read on him? You know his name, so.
Yeah, he's been playing pretty tight. I mean, the kind of things that... let's see, what hands have I seen him show down? I saw him show ace 10. I mean, I haven't seen him get out of line with like a, you know, raising with a 9-7 offsuit or something. If he was, I never saw those hands. It looked like when he was opening, you know, he had something decent. He's not doing that under the gun with like a weak ace or something, you know?
I don't know. Right away, before you even look at your hand, you should know what your range is here.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting at the table. I'm thinking... I would probably fold I would probably fold jacks and ace king off here. I think I'm queens plus.
Wow. Okay. All right.
I mean, if you're taking the ICM shit seriously, and I've got a very low bankroll now, so it's time to do that. Played properly, that's probably what it's supposed to be, I think. Right.
Okay. Okay. Now there's a lot of I'm about middle of the road. I think I've got 14 bigs.
Sorry, do you have him covered?
No. He's got about 50 bigs. I've got
okay. 14. Yeah.
So he's got me way covered. He's raising under the gun. We are eight or nine handed. I can't remember. But I'm on the button, and I kind of like what you're saying about the strong range there. It especially with the guy at the other table with one chip. There's two guys. The two guys in the blinds have less than I do. They've got about 6 to 7 big blinds each. Okay, so you would do that. Even ace king off, you would let go. I had ace queen off, and I looked down at my cards, and I'm like, okay, well, this is an auto three bet, get it in. And then I started thinking about the situation, and I'm like, I just read an article that Alex put out about like min cash or go for the win. You know what I mean? And I'm still torn in my mind. And I'm like, what is the move here? And I end up folding. And the thing that tilted me towards or leaned me towards folding was Jim was like, oh, come on, Steve, we're not gonna go out like this, right? He was kind of giving me that, and he's like, come on, we built this friendly dynamic, you know, don't make me take you out like this. And I was like, man, when they give a speech like that, they usually have a pretty good hand, right? Or is he just saying that because he doesn't want me to shove, so he has to fold? Or is he saying that because he doesn't want me to shove and he calls, and then he's like, well, I had kings, what did you think I had, you know?
That's your area of expertise, Steve. Deciphering the body mannerisms in the talk.
Well, that's why I'm bringing it up.
I would not know how to interpret that, probably.
Okay. I've been in those spots before, and the guys just flip over aces, and they're like, "Well, what did you think I had?" And I'm, you know, but yeah, I folded. I asked him later after I busted the tournament because he said, "I'll tell you what I have later on." And I'm like, "All right." So after I was out, I went over to him and I'm like, what did you have that hand? And he's like, I had king, queen suited. What did you have? And I was like, shit. Oh, I had him crushed.
Well, he might have won there. So, yeah. I don't know. I think most people, I mean, usually I say cavalierly, oh, fuck it. I don't care about the min cash. But, you know, when they're that low, I think you're obligated to cash up the min. I mean, it'd be one thing if he was the cutoff, but that changes things there. Even the cutoff, maybe you're not. If there was only one left, and this person had one chip, I probably even fold queens and ace king suited. Certainly, if it was a 1500 event or something, you know what I mean? Yeah. Where it was like 2800 for
a min cash, yeah.
Yeah, it depends on it should be, you know, the if you're making it by a financial decision and go run it through all, then you're supposed to, I'm pretty sure you made the proper fold there.
Okay. Yeah, it was a stinger when he said king queen suited. I'm like, wow, I was 75% to double up right there. Plus the extra 2.5 big blinds for free that were just in the pot.
Well, yeah, I mean, especially these deep stacks there where a lot of people aren't even like conscious of stack sizes.
Yeah.
Like people are raise folding off like 9 bigs. Like they don't even know how many bigs they have. And it is kind of a license to steal.
Yeah.
Obviously you lose your fold equity. If you have to fold here for 15 minutes, you're going to be down to 8 bigs when the bubble breaks. But yeah, I think you played it properly, Steve.
Okay. All right. Yeah. That was one I was wondering about. Trying to think of any other interesting hands. I hadn't recorded any hands on my voice note. I've just been, these tournaments, I've just been completely card dead. I don't think I've gotten aces yet. Still, I was able to squeak out a min cash even in one when I was pretty card dead. So that was nice. I feel like I'm playing... as opposed to last year to this year, I feel like I'm three betting a lot more. You know, I'm just finding those openers that are opening just a little bit too much and then just three betting them with any kind of suited connector. A lot of suited connectors, any pair. That one has kind of become an auto three bet for me. If there's a frequent opener and I even have pocket deuces, I'm three betting.
Right.
Yeah, it's. I feel good. I feel like I'm playing well. Starting to get my routine down. I'm feeling like I can play for hours and hours and hours now, which it's a big translation going from playing 12 hours on a Sunday in your home where you have a 5-minute break every hour to now you're playing live and now you have a 15-minute break every 2 hours. And you don't have the comfort of your own home where you can just walk and go to the bathroom or make yourself a sandwich or something. Like you have to plan all that shit out for the entire day. But I feel like I'm running right into my routine, which feels good. Feels good.
That's good, Steve. So socially, who have you? You saw Jason briefly. You saw Carlos.
Saw Carlos. Saw Andrew Pieper. Got to.
Okay, of course.
I got to rail him in one of his dailies that he's so good at. I got.
Did you go out? Did you get to sit in his car and share a bag of salted nuts? I'm not making fun of the man. I'm just, you know, if you're a van dweller, you or a car dweller.
Yeah, no, I got to rail him on one of his dailies. What casino was that? Oh, it was Bally's. And it was the final table. And yeah, he just looked so at home there. I mean, just every decision was just instinct. And he ended up, they made a deal. He had just got, he was the chip leader three-handed at top three pay. I think first was a grand, second was like 600, and third was 400 or something. And he just got ace queen cracked, and then he had another big hand like tens or something, and the other guy flopped a six for a set, and got stacked there. So now he's only got like two big blinds, which was about 10% of the chips in play, and then they offered to make a deal, and they gave him $500. So it was more than third, so he took it. And I'm like, so you make those deals? And he's like, yeah. He said he read a an article about ICM on stuff like that, and the guy basically said, if you can ever get a deal for more than what you would already be getting, then just take it. It's tough to get better than that.
Like, yeah.
Okay. All right. Maybe that's a lesson I need to learn.
I think I talked about that. Yeah, you should be ruthless. It's a skill negotiation.
Yeah, that's part of the skill.
And I had an epic fail where was it a Labor Day tournament or whatever at Oceans here that I was the chip leader at the final table, and first place was 15,000. And we ended up, you know, I said, well, run it through the chip. In my mind, I'm already like, well, I'm going to get like an extra 100 and say 25 from all eight of them. That makes an extra 1,000. And I probably, but they came up and it was like 99,000 something. And I think I told you this story. Some guy at the table pulls out like a little picture of his upcoming of his wife's womb, showing the baby that's coming on the way. Come on, man.
give me a little extra money for the.
Let's make it. He didn't ask for any money, but I was starting to negotiate. He's like, come on, man. They're all looking to me. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. Cause I was the chip leader, but I probably had like 30 bigs, who knows, 25 bigs, and everybody else had, you know, 6 to 50. You know, all I need to do is lose one hand, and I've.
Yeah, then you're down to middle of the road.
But you should, but I'm the only poker pro there. I shouldn't be negotiating at least, even if it's like $200.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There you go. There's my phone bill for 2 months. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's kind of funny when you talk about making deals too quickly. My buddy sent me an article. It's actually from Jonathan Little, who we had on. Mm-hmm. And about making, and he said, do not chop at all for these like smaller tournaments, local, your little local casino.
Yeah.
And the reason he gave is you need practice on winning tournaments and playing shorthanded, and that the experience is more valuable. Yeah. Which is easy to say if, you know, if there's ICM considerations, if you're making a good deal, you know, there's other stuff, but I thought that was kind of an interesting one.
Yeah.
The experience of winning tournaments, and if you got the big stack, then use it. You know what I mean? Like it's good practice. So
that's probably a good point, because really you're just chopping there for pennies when you could be prepping yourself for the final table of a 1K or something. So
again, if you're the guy at the local casino who's you're playing, if you're like Andrew and you're, you know, like that's part of your business plan is just value hunting these small tournaments. If you can make yourself with every chop, let's say you're making an extra 50 to 100, $200, that's meaningful.
Yeah, true.
If you do that 50 times a year, well, there you go. There's $10,000. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
it depends on what kind of poker player you are, I guess. But yeah, kind of interesting point, I thought.
Yeah. Yeah.
So who else, any family time or what's?
I had some family time over the weekend.
Your parents come out to visit?
No, folks aren't coming down this trip, but I got to spend some good time with my brother and his wife. Went to a baseball game, like a local, the Las Vegas Aviators. They're the AAA ball club, their farm system of the Oakland A's. And so that was neat to see them, see a ball game. They play a little bit different in AAA. It seems like they, not that they don't hustle in the majors, but I think there's something to only making 30 grand a year and just trying to get that shot to make, you know, 400 a year. You know, they just seem to push a little more edges than a little less, how can I say it, cautious when sliding into the bases and like that. You know, it just seems like they're just trying to go for it just a little bit more. I kind of like the AAA ball clubs. They're fun to watch. And, so
yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah,
even making it to AAA, you probably the average player there still only has like a 20% chance of going all the way to the bigs. You know, who knows.
If that, I work with a couple of guys that played AAA for years, and they're like, man, it is so tough because, like, you know, you get, they both said that it's kind of like a good old boys club. Like, you know, you get in good with a coach and he's in the majors and he wants to bring you up for the next year and everything's a green light to go. And then that guy gets fired. And now you're just starting all over. You got a whole nother year in AAA just trying to get up, trying to find somebody else to work your way in.
Right.
Man, sounds rough. So they ended up giving it up and becoming firemen. But
you going to grind any cash out there? It sounds like you really just you're in Zen tournament mode here. That's where you want all your energies to go.
Yeah, no, I don't think there'll be any cash in my future. I'm looking at my tournament list here, and every single one of them just looks awesome to me. So I think
right. So when you busted a win tourney early, it's not like you sit down and decide to play some cash, some 2-3.
No, you know, I'm more likely to go find some other little $200 tournament for the day or something.
Okay.
Then sit down and cash. I just like the tournament so much better. They're so much more fun, and I think I'm a lot better at them than I am at cash because I just really don't play cash that often. So. I'm going to stick to the tourneys.
How about the online events? There's two kind of good price point online events over the next week coming up here.
You know,
two $600 tournaments. I think one's a bounty and one's a turbo. I'm not sure.
I think so. Yeah. I ran into Corey Wadland yesterday when I was going into the Rio, and he asked me about that. And he's like, you playing the onlines? And I'm like, nah, I think I'm just going to play live. He's like, dude, I'm playing the onlines and I'm playing at the Rio at the same time. I love it. I could sit and play on my iPad and at the table. I'm like, wow, that is a true grinder. Jesus.
Well, yeah, I was thinking about that too. I don't know if I can miss those online, but Sunday is day two of the 1K. So I think that'd be pretty, if I bag, especially if I have any chips, it'd be kind of irresponsible to maybe to play online as well.
There was a guy playing in that daily deep stack. He was playing on his phone. He was right next to me. It was tough to tell if it was cash or I think it was cash. But he was playing cash game on his phone and then playing the tournament. And I know it cost him some points in the live tournament that we were playing because there were several spots where it was an obvious, didn't matter what the guy had, just 3-bet this guy. And he missed him. You know, so I was like, I think you're giving up some edge there by playing two games at once.
Yeah, if he ever timed out in the online one with aces or something.
I saw him time out with ace-jack suited, and he looked pissed because he flopped a jack on a jack-high board dry, and he was in a hand in the tournament. I was kind of watching both because it was my only form of entertainment at the time. I wasn't in the hand, and he folded the he timed out on the ace jack, and he's like, "Fuck!"
That's funny. Well, Steve, you're an expert at multitasking, so not everybody can. You know, you can cook an omelet and do squats and masturbate all at the same time. You know what I'm saying?
I could do any one of those things very well, but all three at the same time is not my strength, though. No.
I did see you walking and chewing gum one time, and I'm like, maybe Steve's not as dumb as I thought he was. You know, I was impressed by that.
Thank you. Yes. Right on. So you're heading out tonight?
Yeah, that's the plan. Usually 9 or 10 p.m. is my normal departure time.
Okay.
For Vegas, I like obviously avoiding the traffic.
Yeah.
And so that would be good. Get there at 2 a.m. You know, go to bed, wake up, and be ready for the tournament tomorrow.
Right on. Cool. Yeah, I'm going to I think this morning I'm going to scoot over and I'm going to buy my ticket for the 1K tomorrow. And then I'll go over to Aria because it starts at 10 a.m. tomorrow and I don't want to have to get there at 8:30 and stand in the line, you know.
Do you you should get registered for the what do you call those little kiosks or whatever the things those are where you can do it online.
You know what? Someone told me about that yesterday. They said Daniel Negreanu has like a vlog on how to do it or something. I guess you can get your ticket from a kiosk, right? It just charges you 3% because you have to use a credit
card. Yeah, that's the part where I guess, especially when I'm staying at the Rio and I can just stroll down to the Diamond lot into the Diamond area at two in the morning after, you know, that you just walk right in. It doesn't really make sense to use the card. Other than the fact, Steve, that I have a 10K card that doesn't have any interest on it for a year. So I'm just going to, of course, I'll be getting fucked with that when I have 10K on it in a year. Yeah. The 3% bothers me.
Yeah.
Because that seems kind of ridiculous, but especially if you're not, depending on what time you get there, the lines can be outrageous. So you have to go to Bravo Poker and you just put it and then you have to go down and sort of register your name, I guess. And they want verification with your ID and whatever card you're going to be using. So again, you got to choose that time well, so you're not waiting in line just to do that. But after that, then you just use your credit card or whatever. It's pretty simple.
I got one of those credit cards for the Caesars properties because you get free parking after that. Now, the stipulation is you got to put $5,000 on it at the end of the year, which is tough for me to do because I have another credit card where I get 2% back on everything that I put on that credit card. This one for the free parking, I got to put $5,000 on that and I get nothing back. So my thought was when I came out here, I'm like, oh, I'm just going to put all these 1500s and 1Ks on this credit card. I'll fulfill my $5,000. Done for the year, and then I get free parking the following year as well. Well, they charge 3% for that, so 3% of $5,000 is $150, and I'm like, huh, do I spend more on parking than $150 a year? Probably. If I didn't have this card, I probably would pay more than that. I don't know. I should probably just use the card, get the free parking for the following year, and be done with it. But it is nice having that card. You just scan the card and just go right in. You don't even have to go to those little kiosk things for parking.
Sure. I have all this. I think I have shingles. You know what that is?
Oh boy, that's like adult chicken pox, right?
Yeah, I got to figure out what. Originally, I'm like, I must have poison oak here or something because it started coming up, and then I was at a poker table. I had shorts and someone's like, dude, that's shingles. If it's just down like one leg, like down a nerve or something. Although that's supposed to be pretty painful and it does get painful sometimes. So I guess that's what it is. Somebody said it could be like herpes. I'm like, no, it's not bad. herpes wouldn't just be in like one localized spot either. I don't think, or it wouldn't show up on my legs or, I mean, maybe it would, I don't know. Anyway, Steve, I'm a very vain man. So even like just seeing that, seeing all those red marks on my leg is like, oh, this shit's gross, but it is healing. It was rigid when it starts, it's like bubbling.
Oh,
you know, like blistering, I guess would be the,
oh, bummer.
And of course I'm too stupid. I was rubbing probably the first spot and then, you know, the liquid is spreading on my leg. So it became kind of, I guess I really don't have to, I don't know, talking about shingles, but just in case.
Great pod.
It's a happy ending, Steve. It seems to be healing up here. I'm, you know, good. I'm obsessed with it and constantly wiping it with alcohol pads. And
did you have to go to the doctor to get it diagnosed?
I didn't. I said
we WebMD'd this, huh? Is that what we did?
I'm as long as it doesn't spread anymore. I said if it spreads one little bit more, I'm going to go to the doctor. But yeah.
I guess on the same note, I cut the shit out of my finger the first day I got here. I was making up my smoothies for the day, and I have the same blender at home that my brother has here, and I think the blades on my blender must be significantly duller than the blades on my brother's blender, because when I was going to dry it, I guess I thought it was a good idea to dry the edge of the blade with the end of my finger instead of using the towel. And man, it just, it was to the point to where it was like, okay, I have a tournament in an hour. This is just to the point to where it doesn't quite need stitches, but some butterflies would come in very handy right now. You know, I mean, I'm just bleeding all over.
Right.
And so I had to go to Walgreens and then get a bunch of Band-Aids and stuff. And it's finally starting to heal up. But yeah, that was.
How was the smoothie?
It was a little full of iron, but it came out. Yeah.
That would actually be a good nickname for you, Steve. The Dull Blade. The Dull Blade.
Better than Midcash Barton, huh?
Right, yeah.
Oh, the Dull Blade. Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Well, I get to see you soon, Stevie. I guess tomorrow at the I haven't decided if I'm going to wear like fake beard and mustache just to, you know. Sorry, Steve, couldn't make it.
Don't see you anywhere. Yeah, I'm still in San Diego. Don't look around. that'll be cool. You're firing the 1K tomorrow, right?
Yes, assuming I get some sleep. I have two bullets for that.
Okay.
Set. Hopefully I'll bag on tomorrow, and then Saturday I can go over and like play a win daily or something like that just to
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. That's what I'm looking forward to. I can't wait. So if this show comes out, I'll have to see when Andrew can put it out, but if people still want to buy some of your package, you've got a few percent still available.
Yeah, probably. You can contact me. I could be hustling next week. You never know. So I could, like, rather than the package, I could see, just let people, if they want to, you know, buy 5% of like individual tournaments.
Okay.
There was someone who he wanted to buy me all in totally into one tournament.
Huh.
Give me like 30%, which is actually a great deal.
That's pretty good.
Because if you look at it, that's really like a 1.4 markup almost.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I told him I had a package, but if the Monster Maker, if I've had a horrible week, I might, if he's up for that, still take him up on that. So I guess if you're buying action for someone, just fuck it. Just take a shot at one tournament.
Yeah.
I see, you know, if you want to reduce variance as an investor, it makes sense to get someone who's playing 10 tournaments because it's like the same thing for the player. But on the other hand, you know, maybe there's something to say for that as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I like about the packages, is it's kind of like you could put the same amount of money spread across 10 tournaments, so you just, you know, you have a lot less variance there. That's what I like about it.
Yeah, I didn't buy any pieces of, maybe that's discourteous of me, but the thing is, as an act of friendship, of course, I should at least buy some of it. Well, Carlos is set for life with those kind of things. You know what I mean? He's got a bunch of people, or just all he's got to do is say, this is what I'm playing, and the money, he'll have the money right away.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? But, you know, to get my own self, when I'm struggling for money, obviously, to get my own self at no markup, it's just the best deal I can get. Not that I'm terrific, but I mean, I think you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. 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 Right on. Cool. Well, I should probably wrap it up here. I got to take a shower, and then I'm going to go down and get my ticket for tomorrow, and then off to Aria.
$400 one, right? 20K guarantee?
40K.
40K guarantee.
Yeah.
Okay. Good luck. Maybe like these midweek. I wonder if I just got thinking when you decided that. The one turn, I was very proud of myself a few years ago. I'm sure I probably talked about this tournament once, where I was a real value hunter, and I saw Planet Hollywood had a Sunday tournament starting early, which was like, I forget, like a $600 8-max for like a 40K. And it had overlay. I found a tournament in Vegas with overlay.
Wow.
I just said, well, there's no pros going to be showing up. This is just going to be old men getting up. And it was, and it actually even had overlay. And this isn't really a bad beat story. It's just poker being poker. Of course, I play all goddamn day, playing, you know, not even really getting a lot of hands, just building and playing terrific in my mind. And then at the final table, I'm like, but there wasn't that many in it. It was like only six or seven got paid or something. And there's only one guy had me covered at the final table, and we get it in. I had aces, and he had queens, and he rivered me with the queen.
Brutal.
When you're just doing everything right as a poker pro.
There, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Setting the alarm to get up early, making sure you get enough rest, going to a casino you don't like because it's got the best value, and you still get a kick.
Still get shafted right before the money.
that's just poker.
That is the name of the game. yes. right on. Well, I look forward to seeing you, Mikey. I guess.
Okay, Steve. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see you tomorrow.
Okay.
Good luck today, bro.
Okay, thanks. Drive safe tonight, and get a good little rest before you head out. Get your free 7-minute tilt buster by clicking on the link in the show notes. Listen to Elliot Rowe before you play. I'm going to do that just before I leave here. And thank you for tuning in. Here is your weekly motivational speech.
Knowledge is not power. Knowledge is potential power. Knowledge is trumped every day by execution. And if you really want to change your life, you can't let the learning you have here lead to knowledge or become an idiot. You got to let your learning lead to action, and then you can become wealthy financially, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and everything else. At this point in my life, nothing surprises me because every culture is different in the world, all the countries I work in, but we all have the same human needs. And so I hope I don't make any faux pas. I've been coming here for 25 years, so I think I probably won't make too many of them while I'm here. But I hope you know they won't be out of disrespect. But I really give a damn more than culture. I care more about the individual. It's because I've been obsessed with a question for most of my life, and the question really is, what makes the difference in people's lives? Why do some people perform so poorly consistently, even though they have every advantage? And why are there some people that perform at the highest level have every disadvantage? And why are there some people that achieve everything they dreamed of and they're miserable? How many know somebody that has every reason to be grateful for their life and they're not? They're frustrated, they're pissed off, they're worried. How many know somebody like this? Say I. It's chronic. It's chronic in the world. And to me, that's failure. If you succeed and you're not fulfilled, that's failure. Because when you're not fulfilled, you've got nothing to really give anybody else.